Hey everybody, this is Dr. William Clark, your host of the Dr. William Clark podcast. Glad to be with you for another episode. This is the hub for nonprofit leaders. We get together here on this podcast, the Dr. William Clark podcast, talk about all things nonprofits. And we do this because we know that nonprofit leaders, influencers, volunteers, supporters want a place where they can learn how to continue to have an impact on the world. And they believe that they can do that through a nonprofit. So we are so happy to have this podcast available to you. And before we get started, we're going to be talking about faithful fundraisers. And this is for the faith-based institutions. This is for churches. This is for people of faith who are leading in the nonprofit space, who are looking to figure out how do you raise money to support your cause. We're going to talk about that today. And we're going to continue with our review of the Giving USA session, or data rather, to help us understand how generations are giving. Before we get started, though, if you want to learn about fundraising, if you want to continue to explore how to fundraise for your worthy cause and how to make the right connections, make the right reads, identify the right resources for your nonprofit, this particular course that we have right now, Fundraising Basis for Nonprofits, this is for you. And if you're looking to learn how to do this, I'm going to encourage you right now to go to drwilliampclark.com. Again, that's drwilliampclark.com. Click on the top link there. That will take you to the course Fundraising Basics for Nonprofits. And there you can register for our course and learn how to raise money for your worthy cause. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today with faithful fundraisers. But I want you to learn how to do this for your nonprofit and learn how to explore this for your nonprofit, because essentially, if you're not clear on how to raise money and how to connect with donors to support your worthy cause, it's going to create just some difficulty for you in identifying ways to sustain your organization. And at the end of the day, we do this work, obviously, to serve a target population and a target community, but our inability to sustain makes that, or is going to make that, very difficult. So go to drwilliampclark.com to register for the course Fundraising Basics for Nonprofits. Now, I want to go ahead and share this screen with you. We're going to be talking about giving by generation. Again, this is the report that we have been looking at from Giving USA. And this report, it really, I think, is pretty interesting. It's been well put together, where it's examining the giving behaviors and thought processes and tactics and strategies based upon generational breakdowns. And so I'm going to encourage you to get this report. It's free. Register to download and access it. I think it's going to be a really useful tool to help you understand the fundraising mechanisms associated with the target population that you are going to be raising money from. Now, today we're going to be talking about faithful fundraisers. And this specific podcast is going to take a look at strategies for successfully raise money for your church and your nonprofit organization. Now, in this report, is going to reference faith-based charities. We like to use the term faith-based nonprofits. And it's also going to reference data relative to churches and places of worship. So we're going to look at that again based upon the breakdown of giving habits throughout various generations. Now, to help guide us here, I want to make sure that I have kind of the generational breakdowns appropriately set for you and I for this conversation. I want to pull up generations. Let's see here, generations by year. And I want to pull up this data again so that it guides our conversation today around understanding the various generations that we are targeting for partnership and financial relationship. So we're going to be looking at four generations. Number one, looking at baby boomers. They were born between the ages of 1946 and 1964. They are between the ages of 59 and 77. Gen Xers. They were born between the years of 1965 and 1980. They are currently 43 years old to 58 years old. Millennials, they were born between 1981 and 1996. They are currently 27 to 42 years old. And then lastly, Generation Z, They were born between 1997 and 2002, and they are currently 11 to 26 years of age. Now, let's take a look at this data breakdown as we explore giving for, through and for faith-based institutions. All right, y'all. So let's take a deep dive here. Now, this data is broken down by generations. And for those who are listening to the podcast, I'm going to read this data out for you so that you kind of have some sort of visual of what the data says. We're going to look at it line by line for the generations. And then we're going to talk about some of the strategies that may come out of this information. So, baby boomers, we're going to start with them. And we're looking at data related to faith-based charities, baby boomers. And again, this data is a comparison between 2016, when the data was originally collected, and updated data that was collected in 2022. So, baby boomers have said that 38% of them have said they have given no money to faith-based charities or foundations then or now. Okay, 38%. 2% of baby boomers said that since the last data set, they are giving less. 2% are giving less. 48% are giving the same amount they gave in 2016, and they gave that given that same amount in 2022. 4% have noted that they are giving more than they were than in 2016. So in 2022, 4% were giving more. And then lastly, 8% said that they are unsure about the change in their giving. Gen X, 37% said they are giving nothing. 5% of Gen Xers say they're giving less in 2022 than they did in 2016. 34% reported that they are giving the exact same amount as they did in 2016 in 2022. 13% noted they are giving more in 2022 than they were originally in 2016. 11%, this is the highest reported number, are stating that they are unsure about their giving habits, whether they're giving less, the same amount, more, or none. They're just not tracking it right now. All right, millennials, 26% say they are giving none. 8% say they are giving less. 36% of millennials say that they're giving the same amount. 21% say that they are giving more, and then 9% of millennials say that they are unsure about where their monies are going, if anywhere. Lastly, Gen Z, 26% note they're giving nothing. 9% note they are giving less than they were in 2016. 26% say they are giving the same amount. 31% say they are giving more, and 9% are unsure. So, as you're listening to this data breakdown, the question is, how do you interpret this? What do you do with this data? As we talked about in our last podcast, it's really, really, really important for you to understand who you're going to be targeting for giving, right? And generational breakdown is one of those demographics that you can look at to say, hey, we're going to target donors through this particular from this particular generation to support our organization. And it's because folks from this generation tend to care about this topic or this issue. So once you make the decision to identify a particular generation or age demographic to focus on, it will inform the various strategies you can use to raise money in partnership with this demographic. But once you understand your focus generation, it is important to understand their giving habits based upon what has been reported in this particular data set. So as this data is highlighting some important things, it will inform you what to think about, how to approach these folks, what to say, what not to say, etc. So for example, if you're new to fundraising, particularly individual giving, it may be a hard sell to say, I want to focus on converting all of the donors who were giving absolutely nothing, no matter the generation and demographic. I want to convert them to giving something, right? So And Gen Z, 26% are given nothing. Millennials, 26% are given nothing. Gen Xers, 37% are given nothing. Boomers, 38% are giving nothing. That is a very difficult lift, particularly if you're new to this or you have interest in doing individual donations or raising money from individuals. It is very difficult to kind of take on that heavy task of saying, hey, how do we convert people from doing nothing to doing something? And part of the reason why this is difficult is because most nonprofit leaders, nonprofit entrepreneurs, don't really think about the message that they are communicating to potential donors. Even if you're raising money from foundations or corporations or sponsors, and you have all these mechanisms that's bringing in resources to the organization, that does not equate to having the maturity in your fundraising tactics to partner with individuals and to have the right message that's going to go out to say, hey, if you partner with us, you're going to help us achieve this particular goal. Right. So it's important for us to think about the messaging that we currently have and our capacity to articulate that message to a variety of potential donors, even if we specialize our giving apparatus and we focus on who we're going to give very intently. It's really important to kind of figure out how do we translate that message over to that potential demographic. Now, it's also important to realize too that as you think about your demographic and the people that you're going to be targeting, which category are you going to focus on? Nonetheless, same amount, more or unsure. So we just said that focusing on those who are giving none can be a very, very difficult sell and ask. I would also argue that focusing on those who are giving less can be a difficult ask, but it is important to think about or at least ask them, wait, why are you giving less? How come you give $100 in 2016, but now you're giving $75 in 2022. What led to that 25% dip or $25 dip? What issues are you seeing that you believe are not being resolved that's leading you to not give? Or are there other issues or priorities in your life that's causing you to redirect your dollars elsewhere? All right. But it's important to understand the reasons why people are not giving or why they're giving less. But again, it might be a heavy lift for some newbies out there to pursue potential donors who were given none or less. I think it could be helpful to think about, should we focus on people who are given the same amount? Now, this is an opportunity because they're already in the mode of giving. They already have this mindset of giving. They understand the power of gifting and sharing their resources. Some of them are tithing to you, these faith-based foundations and organizations. Some of them are just trained and are very principled about giving and believe that their prosperity is tied to giving something. This is true for people who are giving the same amount and more, right? So the assumption could be, all right, that could be a population to pursue. But let me give you the devil's advocate side of this. The other side of this is they are so trained in giving that they may also be trained in giving to a particular portfolio of organizations that will not and does not include your organization. There may not be room for you because of their deep-seated commitment to their existing portfolio. There may be an organization that they're giving to that does the exact same thing or something similar to an organization they're funding, or they may not believe in the concept you're pursuing, or they believe in it, but they're just super committed to this existing portfolio of organizations. For those who are unsure, that's a totally different can of worms because these folks perhaps may not have been tracking where their monies are going. They may not have put a lot of focus on it. Maybe they are distracted by life and things are just not really organized in a way that can help them understand where their money is going. So there are some landmines here for all five categories of givers and all four of these generational breakouts. So what you got to think about is who's my target demographic for financial support? And then where is my skill level at this point where I think I can have the most inroad? Now, you may say, I want to focus on folks who are given none or less because, in theory, there's no competition right now. They're giving absolutely nothing to nobody. And that could be an opportunity for our organization to share our story and to generate support. That could be an opportunity. The question you got to ask is, do we have the sales capacity? Do we have the presentation? Do we have the history? Are we compelling enough to get these folks off of the sidelines financially? to start giving to us. All right. Conversely, you may say, it might not be a good idea for us to pursue folks who are giving the same amount or more because they're already committed. Well, here's the flip side to it. They're committed, but are they still seeing the results that they want to see? Or do they feel that the current portfolio of organizations they're supporting, are they still hitting the goals that they committed to years ago? Or are they possibly looking to make a shift, right? There are pros and cons to each of these categories. I just think that it's important for you as the leader, as the chief strategist within your organization, it's important for you to think about how you should or could position your organization to get to pursue funders and donors so that you can get the type of support you're looking for long term for the sustainability of your faith-based organization. All right. So not all hope is lost. It's never lost. It's just important for you to have a strategy in place and a tactic in place that appeals to the current category of donors based upon their generation and based upon their past and most recent giving habits. This will inform the approach. All right. There are other things in this report that talks about how people prefer to give online, text messaging, etc. We may cover this in another episode. Some people prefer to give when they are in person. Some people prefer to have some sort of personal relationship. Some people prefer to give based upon current relationships they have with other people already giving. There are all types of dynamics in place that could unlock resources for your faith-based organization or for your nonprofit. But I do think it is important for you to analyze the data based upon generation, based upon giving habits then and now. That will help you identify the approach and strategy that makes the most sense. Now, we cover these details and much, much more in our course, Fundraising Basis for Nonprofits. You see the link on the screen. Go to drwilliampclark.com and you can register for that course. Again, it's a course that goes in depth in understanding fundraising psychology and behavior. Based upon experiences and data. And it gives you some tactics, tips, and tricks on what to do and how to do if you're looking to raise money from institutions, corporations, or individuals. And so if you're looking to really deep dive into this stuff, if you're looking to position your nonprofit to raise resources so that you can continue to do the great work that you are called to do in your nonprofit, then go to drwilliampclark.com and register for that course, Fundraising Basics for Nonprofits. Now, we're talking about faithful fundraisers, strategies for a successful church and nonprofit fundraising. And we just talked about giving approaches and giving behaviors for faith-based foundations and organizations. Now, let's talk about giving behaviors based upon generations as it relates to places of worship. All right. So let's go through this. Baby boomers. 29% note that they are giving nothing based upon 2016 and 2022 data. They're giving absolutely nothing. 3% of boomers say they're giving less since 2016. 54% report, this is the highest amongst all the groups, that they're giving the same exact amount as they was were in 2016. They're giving the same amount in 2022. 7% of boomers note they're giving more. And then 7% are unsure about their giving, where it's going, if it's increased, decreased, etc., or if it's flat. Gen Xers, 31% note that they're giving absolutely nothing. 4% of Gen Xers note that they are given less in 2022 than they were in 2016. 41% note they are giving the same amount. 12% of Gen Xers note they are giving more. And then 11% are unsure about their giving. Millennials, 24% report they're giving nothing. 5% report they are giving less. 40% are reporting they are giving the same amount. 23% are reporting they're giving more. 9% are unsure about their giving, whether it's flat, the same, more, or absolutely nothing. Last but not least, Gen Z, 26% report that they are given nothing. 7% reports they are given less. 29% report they're giving the same amount. And then watch this number, guys. 29% of Gen Zers say they're giving more. 8% are unsure where they're giving it has gone, if it's flat, the same, or has gone up. So this is important, right? So this informs you in terms of your church, what to think about when pursuing donors, right? And if you're if your church or place of worship, I'm gonna deal with churches because I'm a Christian and that's kind of the world I'm a part of. We all know that most of our giving is done through tithing or offering or gifts that are given every week during church service. And if you're seeing a demographic shift in your church, you know that this data may be in alignment with what you're seeing literally in your church, whether it's online, in person, et cetera. One of the things the church is trying to think about is how do we continue to capture the hearts and minds of the next generation as our older membership is dying off, or if they are still living, they may not be able to physically come to church as they used to, and as a consequence, may not give as they used to, right? Things happen, life happens, people are going through transformations and transitions. Let me pull up this data real quick. I'm talking, I didn't realize y'all were seeing it, weren't seeing it. People going through transitions and going through all types of shifts, and so the church in and of itself must continue, the place of worship must continue to function and operate, pay its bills, pay its staff, cover its expenses, continue to have an impact in the community. But to do that, it must maintain a steady donor base that is connected to the mission, connected to the purpose, and who find their footing within the place of worship and a reason to give. Now, historically, we could say, hey, people are convicted to give because of what scripture teaches about and what it talks about. And I think there is still something to that. But with newer, younger generations coming on the scene, entering into the economic mobility, entering into the economic power, learning their earning power, starting that journey on their career, some of them, a good number of them, have not grown up in the church and therefore have not heard the teachings of giving, its principles, its power, its benefits. They may have heard inklings of it because of what has been said here and there, but they have not been taught what it means to give and the power of giving. So therefore, it's not assumed, we can't assume as church leaders that if we simply just give the scripture and verse on giving and tithing, whether it's bring the tithing to the storehouse, or whether it's good to be a cheerful giver, or it's good to give, better to give than to receive. It's not enough to assume just quoting those scriptures is good enough for newer generations and or people from any generational group who has not been exposed to that teaching. Because essentially, we're also wrestling with this idea of a generation of people who are coming into learning the power of community, and in part understanding that community is empowered by our participation in it, whether it's us being a good neighbor, taking care of each other, looking out for each other, looking out for each other's children, whether it's making sure we don't contribute to any crime, making sure that our communities are clean, making sure our schools are safe and is a place where teachers want to work and where families want to take their kids. And we show our community by shopping and spending our dollars where we live, work, and play, right? So investing in businesses that are based in our community. That includes churches, right? So people are learning that along the way. So as pastors, as pastoral leaders, as leaders of the church, whether you're on a board or you're part of some sort of committee that influences church decision making, it really is important for us to just be mindful of the different levels people are on when it comes to learning how to be a part of a community and learning how to give and what giving means. The one thing I want to point out about Gen Z data, where they have a good number, the highest number of all generations that's giving more in 2022 than 2016. It's important to remember the data. In 2020, in 2016, they report were reported at giving nothing. So look at our last episode. They weren't really giving. That data wasn't tracked. So they are currently between the ages of 11 and 26 for Gen Zers. So if you're seeing a huge jump in giving, it's because, think about this, Gen Zers are entering into the age of work. They're entering to the age of responsibility. Some have young families. Some are already employed. Some are entering to a 2-year or 4-year institution. Some are a part of trade schools. Some have graduated from the 4-year, 2-year institution or trade school, and they are earning their peak earning potential at this season of their life, right? They may not peak here, but they're peaking in this current season of their life. And so it's reasonable to see, okay, their giving is going to go up because it was at a at zero, right? And remember, the data from the previous episode we had said that Gen Zers annually were giving roughly, I think, $747. There it is, $747 annually in 2022. In 2016, is zero, right? So even though you see a 29% increase in giving, and where the data says they're giving more, again, it's topping out at 747, 747. Still, the other generations have greater giving power on an annual basis. So when you're looking at who to pursue, how to understand giving habits and behaviors based upon generations, it's important to understand, okay, if we're going to target a particular generation, do understand that the giving potential also has to be factored into that, right? What is the annual giving capacity? Right. And just think about how this impacts your church, how this impacts your church. Now, the other thing pastors and church leaders have to think about, whether you're leading a church or you're just a senior leader at a faith-based institution, is that there is a issue where you have to balance the assumption of proselytizing, particularly for faith-based organizations that are not churches, right? Some may not give to you because they assume you're going to proselytize. However, I have seen movement in recent years where more foundations are not making that assumption, but they will ask on the grant application, and some donors are going to ask as well. So it's important to make sure you distinguish the fact that if you are a faith-based nonprofit, it's important to highlight that we don't proselytize, we don't preach, and we don't baptize. We leave that to the church in and of itself. Therefore, the point that we want to highlight is that our faith informs our service. So if you're a Christian, you're informed by the ideas of Jesus, where we're influenced by loving each other, loving neighbor as self, right? Making sure we're looking out for our fellow man. That part of our faith is huge. Maybe there are other portions of the Christian faith that influences you, such as maybe you're influenced by the teachings of the apostles, where they install deacons to take care of those who are widows and the elderly. Right. Maybe you're influenced by that. Maybe you're influenced by those who are children without parents. Maybe you're influenced by those who are homeless, those who are sick, those who have other types of ailments. All those things kind of show up in the gospel. And to say that you're influenced by that from a faith perspective, that's reasonable because that is inspirational, right? But some donors want that to be separate from the church function of proselytizing, preaching, salvation, baptism, etc. For those who are churches, you already know that most of your donors are going to come from people who are attending your church every week. So it's going to be important for you to not only obviously preach the gospel and the gospel message, but also think about how else can you engage these various generations, particularly the millennials and the Gen Zers, in other ways to show that, hey, we not only preach it, but we live it. So during the week, when you're not at church, we are expressing the gospel. We are showing the gospel through this program, through this activity, through this relationship, through this partnership, etc., which means that your investment, your tithing, which comes in to bring meat into the storehouse, is being used to do a greater good. And yes, we show the love of Christ through word and through deed, right? So you're going to have to figure out what the generations in your church are looking for, what they connect with, where they're looking to see their dollars go in terms of seeing greater impact within the community, a greater impact in the world that they live in on a regular basis, and understand how to see that connection come to life, right? Because a lot of, millennials, but particularly Gen Zers, are very adamant about social change, social justice, social impact on multiple levels. And this is not a conversation about DEI or other thing, culture wars that are really hot today. But this is a conversation that says each generation has a thing that they focus on, a connecting point socially, culturally, that drives them to be committed to a cause. What is it? Now, the church, the place of worship, the faith-based nonprofit may not be able to engage in every culture war, every culture fight, etc., for a variety of reasons. But it is important to understand what is pulling at the heartstrings of your generations or the generations in your church, and to be a part of those conversations, to let them know where you stand from a faith-based perspective, and to figure out, hey, how do we partner together, increase your giving so we can solve this problem, address that problem, respond to this, or partner with other organizations that can help us be more effective than we can simply as a church or simply as a faith-based foundation, nonprofit, charity, etc. So this is really, really a podcast that's going to challenge you to perhaps go back to the drawing board or spend more time at the drawing board strategizing about how to build a portfolio of donors, partners who are committed to the worthy cause that's tied to your faith-based nonprofit, tied to your church, etc. The simple message of give and you'll be blessed, I think, there's truth to it, obviously, for those that know, you know. But for those that are not familiar with that concept, the principles associated with it, and everything that comes along with it, they're going to be taught. They're going to have to be taught. You're going to have to share with them. And this is no different than what your secular counterparts have to do as well, where they're teaching their donors to give. They're explaining, they're sharing a story about why giving is powerful, what results giving will do. You, as a faith-based leader, you, as a church leader, will have to do the same. Just think about it through the lens of the various interests of the generations that are connected to your work. Now, if you want to go more into this, if you want to deep dive into all this, visit me at drwilliamplclark.com. Again, drwilliamplclark.com, and register for my course, Fundraising Basics for Nonprofits. This course is a deep dive. This is just a short podcast about this topic, but I've put together a number of top courses that goes in depth on this in this teaching, and we explore these topics and much more further to help you kind of think about how to raise money and to sustain your nonprofit and your faith-based organization. So go to drwilliamplclark.com to register for that course. This is the Dr. William Clark Podcast. Y'all be well, stay safe, continue to do the great work. See y'all next time. See everybody.